Okay, here we go. We're up to the Tosfos Yontif. Who was the Tosfos Yontif? So, for many people, again, I've made this observation a few times. I don't remember if I made it here. But it's very odd when you get to Litvaks and you ask them, who's your great-great-grandfather? Many of them will not know. But by Hasidim, they all know. Yichus and the Zedas and the everything. They can take you right back. So, this week we're going to talk about Tosfos Yontif. Happens to be, he is my children's great-great-great-great-grandfather. Many, many. Oh, and we have another Einikol. Any other Einikol of the Tosfos Yontif? Anybody? Tosfos Yontif? No, he's a Talmud. Okay. Here we go. So, Tosfos Yontif, when did he live? What was his name? Anybody? Rabbi Yontif Lipman Halevi. He had two more names. Wow, Rabbi Klein listens. Here we go. He was Reb Gershon Shaul Yomtiv Lipman Halevi Heller. Not too shabby, right? So now it happens to be that that just as an aside, I have a try to have fun here. So my mother-in-law has what they call a Yichus brief. Anyone has seen these? They have written in like almost Sefer Torah, Ksav Ashuris. This generation to that generation to that generation, all the way back to Tosfos Yontif. So we all come from the Trumas HaKri. Trumas HaKri was the brother of the Tosfos HaChoshen, whose name was, last name?
Heller.
Heller. Okay, amazing. Heller, Tosfos Yontif, Heller. The only problem is, Tosfos Yontif was a Levi, and the Tosfos HaChoshen was a Kohen. And in Yiddishkeit, Heller has to be Ben Acher Ben. And that wouldn't work. How is he a Kohen if he's a Levi?
Can't get promoted.
So the answer is, after a little bit of research, the Tosfos Yontif's sons-in-law, some of them took the name Heller. Yeah, so his name was Gins, Akiva Gins. And Eger was his grandfather, his maternal grandfather, who was Rabbi Akiva Eger the first. There's farm from Rabbi Akiva Eger the first, as well as Rabbi Akiva Eger the second. Not a well-known fact, but yes, valid point. So that's the Tosfos Yontif. He got the name Gershon Shaul B'Soif Yamav when he was about 75, when he was very ill. Why those two names? I don't really know. I know they address it. I just don't know what the answer is. So, anyone finds out, please let me know. Gershon Shaul, but his name was Yomtiv Lipman. Now, when did he live? He was born in Shin Lamed Tes. Okay, now for anyone who's not here, 1240. That's the baseline. 1579. Shin Lamed Tes, you always add it to 1240. He was born in 1579. He was born in Wallerstein. Wallerstein is not far away from where were the trials for the Nazis? Nuremberg. It's not so far from Nuremberg. This is in Germany. He was born in Wallerstein. He was called Reb Yomtiv Wallerstein. His father was a Rav in Wallerstein, who was supposedly one of the biggest Rabbanim in Ashkenaz of the time. And the Tosfos Yontif was clearly Mukhan and destined for greatness. One of the things I really got a kick out of, I heard someone telling over. He writes in his introduction, he wrote many, many svarim. We're going to get to hopefully most of them, just what he wrote on and when. He writes in one of his svarim that, you know, when I was 18 years old, I was the Rav in Prague, and I would fight with the best of them. And I was able, he writes about himself, such a insight into, you know, a healthy dose of Hakaras Mailas Atzma, as the Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Avoda. It's not gaiva, it's realizing what you got. And he says, I was 18 years of age, and I was Mina Chashuvim of the Bezdin in Prague, by 18. Not too shabby. So, who is he a Talmud of? The Maral Miprag. Okay? As we mentioned before, that he was arguably his prime Talmud. Why? It's not a fair question. How do we know this? Because the Maral at the time changed the Tzuras HaLimud. The Mahalach of the way they learned was a lot of pilpul. The father of the pilpul movement and the father of the Polish Torah world was Rabbi Yaakov Polak. Rabbi Yaakov Polak, he was actually German. He was actually German. He moved to Poland, and he was called Rabbi Yaakov Polak. He introduced the pilpul method. As we mentioned before, but we have some new faces. Pilpul is, it's just mind-spinning. You go and you try to compare as many different Gemaras as you can, from the Hava Mina here to there, and try to, you know, pull a thread through all of them. And the more you could bring and the fancier construct you could build, the better. Now, the Marshal rips. He hates pilpul. He hates it. The Ramah stopped learning pilpul. The Ramah, it was Rabbi Yaakov Polak to Rabbi Shalom Shachna, who was the successor. The Ramah was a son-in-law in his first marriage of Rabbi Shalom Shachna. And he veers off of pilpul. The Maral did as well. The Maral went back to the basics. The Mishnah goes and tells you how to learn. Bin Chumash LaMikra, Bin Eser LaMishnah, 5 to do Chumash, 10 to do Mishnayis, 15 to do Gemara. So he was very, very into promoting learning Mishnayis. And he pushed, you have to learn Mishnayis. And hence the Tosfos Yontif wrote his Pirush on Mishnayis. That's how we have what we have. So the Tosfos Yontif, he says in the beginning of Tosfos Yontif why he called it Tosfos Yontif. Someone just came up to me recently and asked me, is Tosfos Yontif have anything to do with Tosfos? I said, no, it has no connection. Tosfos was the Rishonim. And from Yontif Lipman, Gershon Shaul Yontif Lipman HaLevi Heller was in the 1500s, 1600s. But he explains that, you know, when it comes to Mishnayos, in the Mushal, in the Dimyon too, Gemara has Rashi. The function of Rashi is to take you step by step, Divrei Maskil by Divrei Maskil, trying to explain it. Okay? And then you have Tosfos that goes and expounds and will hit you with a kasha from here to there and quote from the array of Balei HaTosfos of the time, and it's much more, so to say, expansive. He says when it gets to Mishnayos, the Rambam just really gives you an overview of what each Mishnah is coming to do. He doesn't really hit you with where it's at, step by step. The Bartanura, Rabbi Avadia Bartanura, he's really the Rashi, but there's still so many questions to be asked. So I'm going to write the Tosfos on the Mishnayos. Hence, Tosfos Yontif. Okay, he writes Tosfos Yontif, and that's really what it's like. If you learn Tosfos Yontif, he brings kashas, tirutzim, he brings from the Maral, he brings from others, and it's a journey. It's very thorough, very expansive and extensive, and that's why we have Tosfos Yontif. Where was he a Rav? He was a Rav in Prague. Now, the show and tell for this week is something called Megillas Eva. Has anyone ever seen this? There's few Gedolim who wrote autobiographies. One of them was the Rakov Emden. One of them was Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolius. They only printed it afterwards from Brody, from Brut. And this one is Megillas Eva, penned by the Tosfos Yontif himself. And he walks you through his whole life, from top to bottom. When he grew up, what he was up to, and he walks you through. Megillas Eva is a play on words. Megillas, not Megillas Eicha. Eva is hatred and a fight. This is the Megillah of a fight. This is where the story, the plot thickens. The Tosfos Yontif was the Rav. He was an Av Bezdin in Prague. Now, at the time, who was there? The Maral. The Maral then went to Nicholsburg for about 20 years. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough of the ages of the Dayanim in Prague to know if that's such a feat. But yeah, definitely not the norm. So, who was there at the time? The Maral was there. The Oil of Sephraim, the Kliyakar, same person. He was the successor of the Maral. He was there. And at the same time, the Tosfos Yontif was still on the Bezdin. Doesn't mean you were the Av Bezdin. You were a member of the Bezdin, one of the Rabbonim. Then he got the call up and he was the Rav in Nemirov for 2 years. Nemirov became famous, unfortunately, during Tach V'Tat. Rabbi Chiel of Nemirov was one of the big tzaddikim who was killed in 1648-1649 during the Chelnitsky massacre. And then he was called back to Prague. He's one other place. I might be... I have to double check the exact procession because it actually makes a big difference. He was called up to Prague, and there was the 30-year war, which is a religious war that was taking place over that kingdom. And there was heavy, heavy taxes that were given and placed upon the Jewish community. The Tosfos Yontif was one of the takanas that he made in his kehila was that he would go and tax every person as per their financial bracket. Now, this doesn't end well. The gevirim of the town were not very happy, and they didn't want to listen to this takana of the Rav. The Rav, Tosfos Yontif, taxing us more because we're wealthy? Who is he? And the hope was to dethrone him from the Rabbanus. And this is where it didn't end well. We're probably going to need a part two. This is definitely a much longer story. So one of the Svarim, we're going to get to the story, but we have to take this tangent. One of the Svarim that he wrote was Ma'adane Melech. Ma'adane Melech was a halacha sefer, quoted by the Shach and the Taz, right, left, and center in Yeridea. They quote him all the time. Madani Melech, Madani Melech.
Was it a pure Rosh Hashanah Rosh, or an addition to the Rosh? How to get to the Rosh?
Madani Melech is not... No. Madani Melech?
Madani Yontif.
Madani Yontif.
That's him.
Madani Melech is a different sefer.
Oh,
Madani, yeah. So, Madani Melech, they went to the emperor. He went to Wien, that's where he went. He went to Vienna. There was a new kehila forming in the early 1600s in Vienna. He was brought in as the Rav. Okay, he was there and then was brought back to Prague. It was all part of Moravia, which was led at the time by the Austrian Empire. They went and some of the gevirim, Yidden, went to the ruler of the kingdom and said he is anti the Malucha. He, look at his sefer, Madani Melech, he's poking fun. He's trying to act as if he's the monarchy. And he writes negatively about Christians. Oivdei Avod Zara will show you. And the hope was he would be dethroned. That's what at least they say in the defense of their actions, that it wasn't so malicious. It was quite malicious. It wasn't so malicious. What ends up happening is they send officers after him. They bring him to Vienna, and he's sitting in court, and he's sentenced to death. And he writes, it was one of the lowest points in my life. There I was. He wrote already Kama V'Kama Svarim. He wrote Madani Melech. He wrote on the Brachas. He wrote on, what's it called, new? On Brachas, Divrei Chamudos, thank you. Divrei Chamudos on Brachas. And he wrote on Malbushe Yamtif. He wrote on the Lavush. He wrote so many Svarim already. He was already finished printing Tosfos Yontif. Tosfos Yontif came out in Tough Hay. If anyone remembers from the Shach and the Taz, the Shach and the Taz came out in the year Tough Vav, 1 year later. That's where we're holding. And here he is. He's on death row. And he writes, it was the lowest point. And actually, I'm going to incriminate myself. He writes in the Sefer Megillas Eva that Hey Tammuz is when this Mesira went down. And I hereby, I want to be Koveya for all my grandchildren. Ad Oilam, he writes, for all eternity, that on Hey Tammuz should be a fast day. And then he specifies, and even if you marry in, so that just nailed me. So even if you marry in, you also have to fast. So I've met a few hellers. Supposedly hellers actually do it. Or the ones who feel that connection. There's so many grandchildren. I wonder, take a poll. But that's that. So he's on death row, and how does he get saved? He walks you through. He walks you through how he got saved. His son at the time was not clear who he saved. He saved some high-ranking official. It seemed to have been like a French prince or some princess. I don't know who he saved, but it was definitely good bartering chip. Two, at least spare the Tosfos Center's life. A lot of shtadlos and shtadlonim got involved, and his life was spared with two big punishments. You can never be a Rav in the entire kingdom, anywhere in the kingdom. Number one. And number two, you have to pay 10,000 golden coins, which was exorbitant. Supposedly he grew up with money. That's what he writes, that he had Kesef Azov. He married a daughter of a very wealthy person. He sat, he had a yeshiva. And that's when he writes that at 18, I was already on the Beis Din, and I didn't really have much worries. I wrote Sfarim. And he writes, from the tallest, highest of heights, there I was on death row. And everyone should fast forever. So that was step one. So now he finally gets out. And that's where the story continues as to what happens next. We're going to have to stop, but I'll just tell you one thing. There's an interesting thing. We're going to continue with Tosfos to part two next week. But an interesting thing is, does anyone know the Tosfos Yontif's tefillah? Anybody? Anyone familiar with it? It's not that popular. I don't know how many shuls still say it. Anybody? Tosfos Yontif's tefillah? Tosfos Yontif's tefillah? Kol misha shomer nafshoi not to speak during davening. During laning. So there's different versions of the tefillah. They say it like the tefillah for the Medina. Many, many kehilos will say it then. Ad hayom, they say the Tosfos Yontif's tefillah for not davening, not talking during davening. The question is, who made it and when was it instituted? He definitely instituted in his kehilah, but there's a lot of stories swirling around as to when it was made and why it was instituted and who actually authored it. But, you know, we always have to leave off with some sort of a cliffhanger, especially on a part one. To be continued, again, it was made by the Maral. The Maral's times, he said there were two things in Nikolsburg that everyone was so lax over. Number one, talking during davening. Number two, drinking Stam Yenom. Because in Nikolsburg, in that area, that region, there's a lot of vineyards, and that everyone was drinking Goyishan wine. Terrible, terrible, terrible. So the Maral, with his wit, didn't come out fighting. He made a Misha Berach for those. They should be benched with all the brachas for those who don't speak during davening and for those who don't drink Stam Yenom. Definitely an insight into different mahalchim, how to go about it, but we have to continue. We're in the middle. He now just got off of death row, and we have the rest of his life to talk about. To be continued next week.